She's not hearing me.
Hello?
Julia.
Hola, Maria. Wow, mujer, what a long time this has been, huh?
From NPR and Futuro Media, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. And today, a portrait of author Julia Alvarez. Julia Alvarez is an acclaimed Dominican-American writer. She received the Pura Belpré Award, and in 2014, President Obama presented her with a National Medal of Arts.
We can never take for granted the flash of insight that comes from watching a great documentary or reading a great memoir or novel.
Julia's two most recognized novels were published in the 1990s, How the Garcia Girls Lost Their Accents and In the Time of the Butterflies. How the Garcia Girls Lost Their Accents is a personal coming-of-age story based on Julia and her sister's experience emigrating from the Dominican Republic to the U.S. Her next major work was In the Time of the Butterflies, a work of historical fiction. Julia became fascinated with the Mirabal sisters, all of whom were young Dominican women who attempted to overthrow the dictator at the time, Rafael Trujillo. They went by the code name of Las Mariposas, or the Butterflies. The book she wrote, based on their lives, would later be turned into a film starring Salma Hayek and Mark Anthony.
This regime is insane. Do you know that Trujillo has a secret campaign to make our population whiter than it is?
Paulo and I have made a list with the people who have disappeared last month. We have more than 300 names on it. We need to make copies and distribute them so people know what Trujillo is doing.
25 years has passed since In the Time of the Butterflies was published, but many themes from the novel resonate today. Julia's work goes deep into understanding the intersection between activism, womanhood, and a sense of belonging. I sat down to speak with Julia about the lasting legacy of her work and whether we are still in the time of the butterflies. Julia Alvarez, welcome back to Latino USA.
Well, it's great to be here.
When you wrote your big, big hits, How the Garcia Girls Lost Their Accent, In the Time of the Butterflies, that success came when you were already at middle age. You had been writing for about 20 years before that.
Well, my first novel, Garcia Girls, didn't get published till I was 41. We look at things now and we're impatient and things seem to go so slowly, but I've seen quite a development. When I started writing, people that wrote about families and communities like the ones I was writing about, that was considered sociology. I mean, not part of American literature. The whole big wave of multicultural literature, African-American literature being part of the mainstream was not something that was happening back then. So it was many years of just keeping to that routine, believing in my calling, loving it. So there was nothing else. It's not like I could do something else because this is what I wanted to do and loved doing. So it was quite discouraging. Thank goodness I found other writers like Sandra Cisneros, Ana Castillo, Denise Chavez, and we kept writing, which is really the revenge. You know, you just keep doing it.
I grew up as a Mexican immigrant in the United States, and so I never felt like writing in English could be my thing because it wasn't my first language. So I'm fascinated by the fact that you, at such a young age, knew that for you it was about the written word, that you understood that that's where you wanted to be.
Actually, Maria, I probably was more like you than you know. I would not have been a writer had we stayed in the DR. I was not a reader, didn't like school, flunked every grade through fifth grade, had to go to summer schools in the Dominican Republic. And when we came to this country, I was 10, and I had to learn English intentionally. So I came into English as a 10-year-old. You wouldn't have foretold that I was going to be a writer, but I had a wonderful teacher. She could see that what I did love was stories and the oral storytelling of my childhood back home in the DR. And she could see that, and she sort of, I don't know how she did it, she kind of coaxed me into believing that books could be interesting. because I didn't have much access to books. It was textbooks and official censored literature in the DR. So it was really coming to the United States, having access to public libraries, having a teacher that encouraged me to write down my little stories about the DR and growing up there, which was wonderful because I was so homesick. It was a way in which I could recover what had been lost. So that's really when I became a writer.
If I recall correctly, Julia, I think writing Garcia Girls also raised a lot of issues for you, because with the success meant that this, you know, your writing was very public. And I think within your family, some things came up. Am I right?
Oh, some things came up in a big way. You know, I thought, oh, wow, I've made my papi and mommy really proud. You know, I just, the daughter that was the big troublemaker that couldn't seem to pass a grade, finally they're going to say, she, mira, tú sabes, ay, por fin, you know, she's proven herself. You know, she was right. She's a writer. And instead, it was just, oh my goodness. And they were terrified by, you know, this daughter that was speaking out and getting public attention. You know, the Garcia girls were coming of age in the 60s, and you know, they knew all about boyfriends and overnights with boyfriends and smoking pot and, you know, lying to parents about where they were going to be on a specific weekend and with whom, all the things that young people were going through. But I think what I came to understand is, first of all, my parents were really the products of a dictatorship where you did not put stuff out there publicly. You could get killed for it.
Mm.
And, you know, you can get rid of the dictator, but the dictator that survives in your head is there. And I think actually they were suffering from trauma of what they had been through. And when you're part of a marginal group and you feel like you're already, you know, people are already saying that you're all rapists and drug addicts and go back to where you came from, you want to put as a community your best foot forward. You know, you don't want your dirty laundry to be out there. Entre familia, entre comunidad, that's one thing. But out there, no. You have to put on the Pollyanna best foot forward. And what you're doing to your own community then is you're limiting your own humanity. You're cutting it back. You're oppressing your own expressiveness as a community.
So How the Garcia Girls Lost Their Accents is really this very personal kind of memoirish coming of age story. It's all about you, your family, your mom, your sisters. And then you take this turn to doing this piece of historical fiction based on the lives of these three sisters. They're so famous in the Dominican Republic and around the world. They're known as the Mirabal sisters. You know, this is really a major piece of historical fiction in novel form. So what made you want to tackle their story next?
Well, you know, I was obsessed with their story because in some ways there were some eerie similarities to my own family. We were four girls in my family and they were four girls. They fought for freedom. They were killed 3 months after we arrived, but only one survived. And of course, Papi talked to us about what happened because he knew them. And so I always felt like they were the shadow sisters, the ones that paid the price for us to be free. And also, you know, to realize that the storyteller who survives to tell the story, that they was the second oldest, and I'm the second oldest, and I was the storyteller in the family. So it felt almost eerie, like this is a story meant for me to write down. And I thought I was going to write a history or biography of their lives. But then the more I researched them, the more I became interested in their personalities and how they have become politicized. To me, a novel is a true story, but it's the truth according to character, as opposed to facts and information, you know, the reporting of what exactly happened. You enter the story through the personalities of the characters. You know, it was for me, I think, a way to understand my parents' generation and what had happened. I was living with the repercussions of that, with my parents' fears and with a country that had been traumatized by the dictatorship. So writing it politicized me, I think, and helped me to understand the history of where I come from.
It's almost unbelievable that it's been 25 years since In the Time of the Butterflies was published. And I find myself thinking about how long I've been working, how long I've known you, and kind of this whole notion of getting older. And, you know, in fact, you're someone who thinks a lot, very deeply about the human condition. So talk to me about what it's been like for you to get older.
When they said In the Time of the Butterflies was going to be 25 years old, I was shocked because I know I'm getting old, but the books are getting old too. I'm aware that I'm slowed down. It used to be like that I could spend, you know, most of the day writing and then write a speech and then go talk to a class. You know, it just seemed like I had so much energy. I don't have it anymore. I move slower. And I think it's also because now I'm more thoughtful about what I do. And my feeling is just that before I go, I just want every drop squeezed from me. When death comes for me, I don't want there to be something I saved up. You know, I feel like it's also a time of listening and encouraging the young people. Somebody sat in my front row and clapped when I was a young person and read something and made me feel heard and seen. And now it's, in a sense, our time to do that, to step aside sometimes graciously, that it doesn't have to be that the story comes only from me or through me, that it's also coming beautifully and powerfully from these younger writers who are out there and need our encouragement.
When I was thinking about In the Time of the Butterflies, and it was a book that, you know, 25 years ago, it really held up Latinas, Latin American women as kind of these forces of nature. I mean, helping to bring down the dictatorship of Trujillo in the Dominican Republic. And I was thinking about, all right, so 25 years have passed. Who are the Latinas who are kind of changing history? And who are the Latinas who are changing history right here in the United States? And so I started thinking of, wow, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Exactly.
Emma Gonzalez from Parkland, Florida.
Wow.
You know, Edna Chavez or Veronica Escobar from Texas and now in Congress.
Yeah.
Have you thought about that, Julia? Just kind of like, there's a whole nother generation.
It is thrilling to see them launched. So many of them so young, so smart, so ready to take on la batalla, the struggles that we went through. And when we see some of the current things going on and the policies, we feel like, gosh, we of the 60s generation thought that we were changing the world and that this was going to be so different. And it's not. You know, the struggle continues, but we have to keep showing up and to see them not only showing up, but right there in the front lines and so brave. They are mariposas. It's still the time for butterflies, and they're arriving legion. And it gives me hope. On the dark days, it gives me hope.
Julia Alvarez is the author of many books, including How the Garcia Girls Lost Their Accents and In the Time of the Butterflies. This episode was produced by Antonia Cerejido. and edited by Fernanda Camarena. The Latino USA team includes Miguel Macias, Sofia Paliza Ka, Maggie Freeling, and Janice Yamoka, with help this week from Ginny Montalvo and Maya Cueva. Our engineers are Stephanie LeBeau and Julia Caruso. Our production manager is Natalia Fidelholz. Our New York Women's Foundation Ignite Fellow is Fernanda Uriegas. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. If you like the music you heard on this episode, stop by latinousa.org and check out our weekly Spotify playlist. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again next time. And in the meantime, look for us on all of your social media. I'll see you there. Hasta la próxima. Ciao.
Latino USA is made possible in part by the New York Women's Foundation, funding women leaders that build solutions in their communities and celebrating 30 years of radical generosity. The Wincote Foundation. And the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide.
Pineapples. And more pineapples.
Pineapples and more pineapples.
Radio Ambulante is back with a brand new season of stories from all over Latin America and across the U.S. We kick things off with a voice that some of you may have heard.
Dios mío, este hombre es mi doble exacto. Oh, ese perro tiene la cola peluda.
The rise and fall of one of Latin America's most famous voiceover artists and the industry that crumbled around him. Radio Ambulante from NPR. Listen and subscribe now.
I'm Maria Hinojosa, and next time on Latino USA, I sit down for a conversation with Democratic presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke. We talk about El Paso, the border, his old punk band, and why he's running for president.
I want to serve this country and be the leader that we need right now, but that we're missing right now.
That's next time on Latino USA.